to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
The Star Wars Sessions podcast.
Palpatine loves a good Star Wars session.
Absolute legends of Star Wars Sessions.
This is the way, this is the way.
Please welcome your hosts, Matt Hudson and Luke Bly.
This is where the fun begins.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions. Come for the Star Wars, stay for the sessions. My name is Matt Hudson, aka Jabba the Hutt, and joining me here as ever in the cockpit of the Essex Falcon, he is the greatest Star Wars man, fan, and buddy out there. He's been waiting for this night for a long, long time. It's Luke Bly, Master Blywalker. How you doing, mate?
Oi, oi, Sam Beloy. Yeah, no, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Acolyte, 1 week on. How does it feel? How are you feeling? Have you survived the Acolyte trailer apocalypse?
I've watched it a few times, mate. I've witnessed a literal online apocalypse, which has bent my head a little bit, but I've watched it a few times, mate. I've enjoyed it just as much. I've seen lots of cool breakdowns from the creators out there that you and I both seem to love. And yeah, man, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I think I've actually got the day it comes out. I think I'm actually off that day, which is even sweeter, mate. But yeah, I've survived. I haven't got the t-shirt, but have you survived the apocalypse?
No, I haven't got any Star Wars t-shirt on today, just a stripy jobby. I think I've survived. I think there's been a lot of talk, even on our Discord, of people saying, oh, you know, the Acolyte trailer is more downvoted than upvoted. And there's been a lot of kind of discussion and discourse going on around the Acolyte. And I just want to point out, and I think Mankalorian was one of the first dudes to point this out on our Discord, and I've seen it elsewhere online, that the kind of like-dislike thing is a little bit outdated on YouTube, because you can't see dislikes on YouTube. You know, so people aren't engaging with that function on the website as much. Secondly, there's another bit. There's different estimations on how reliable the kind of plugin you can use to look at the like-dislike ratio on YouTube videos. You know, so we're not sure if that's completely accurate. But lastly, and I'm going to assume it is, you know, more dislikes than likes. Lastly, I want to just say, mate, I want to say that I'm not surprised there are more dislikes, because there was more or less an organized campaign around getting this video on dislikes, right? Yeah. There was an organized, which I weren't aware of, but now in hindsight, you can go back and see these little groups of people that are downvoting this show. And listen, the Acolyte, we were excited for it. It might suck. It might be rubbish. It might not finesse its political opinions well, which I think is, you know, something that's really important. You need to do that in a decent way, you know. And yeah, but anyway, then it doesn't warrant the trailer. I went on Reddit, mate, and people were like, why is it so damn bad? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't add anything more other than if you're part of an organized campaign to downvote a video about a fake space opera, grow up. Just move on. Just go and watch something else, and go and watch Zack Snyder, whatever you want to do. Go and enjoy that. But if you don't like it for legit reason, that's entirely fine. Mm-hmm. We're here for that. If you don't like something, sweet. But if it's because of a weird agenda people have, or just grifting or clout chasing, just stop. Just go and enjoy the stuff you like. But yeah, no, it is very silly. And of course, the Acolyte has an uphill struggle anyway, but any new show does. Why? Because it's new characters, new era, new timeline, new story. All of that's got to work. Same with The Mandalorian when that came out. Same with Stranger Things season one when that came out, or Succession. I know how much you like that. Every new show that comes out has an uphill battle to win over the general audience. So, you know, we're going to it with that headset, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, mate.
I like it. Just move on. Easiest thing to do is just move along.
I just thought the trailer was really fun, you know? I thought it's really fun, but
subject, but there was nothing about it really, which I thought was, I said, it wasn't really anything I could point out and think, all right, I get why people might have an issue with the quality of effect or the quality of dialogue or something like that. I couldn't, you know, I can't, I'm not even being a rabid fanboy. I just can't pinpoint anything in that trailer which would make people think, ugh, that's really bad. And the whole Sith red lightsaber thing, you don't have to be a Sith to have a red lightsaber. Let's, you know, let's call it on that as well. Speculation's fun, but you nitpick. I know, well, hey, look, we don't want any more Apple reviews, but nitpicking over things which we don't even know about yet. And, oh, it's ruined canon and Disney have ruined everything. Guys, let's just wait and see first. Let's wait and see if Disney ruined it first, yeah? Yeah. Wait and see. They haven't, but let's wait and see.
Well, yeah, let's wait and see. They might have, but let's wait and see. No, I'm joking. And that's why I think this week's main discussion, which we'll get to shortly, is going to be quite poignant, you know? Because, yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, it's an Attack of the Clones. It's a prequel kind of week. You know, it's a prequel kind of week.
Yes.
So, yes, mate, looking forward to that big time.
Yes, mate, very much looking forward to our main discussion tonight. And I'm very much looking forward to the Ak-O Light. But let's leave all that in the rearview mirror for the time being, my friend, because in my ears, I can hear the sounds of Big Ben Kenobi. Well, we both know what it means, but for the uninitiated out there, what does it all mean, mate?
It must mean, mate, it's the Galactic News Round. Appearing on the Talking Pictures podcast, Patty Jenkins revealed she is back working on her Rogue Squadron film, saying they have other directors who have been working, but I am now, you know, I'm back on doing Rogue Squadron, and we'll see what happens.
Disney has revealed that since buying Lucasfilm, the company has made more than three times the cost in value, or $12 billion in value, representing a theoretical profit of around $8 billion in 12 years.
Jake Lloyd's mother, Leilani Lisa, told Scripps News that her son's involvement in Star Wars had nothing to do with his health and that it would have happened anyway due to family history. She added, "He loves all the new Star Wars stuff. People think Jake hates Star Wars. He loves it."
In the first of a series of coins dedicated to the vehicles featured in the Star Wars films, the Royal Mint has unveiled a 50p coin featuring the Millennium Falcon. Other coins launching this year will feature the TIE Fighter, X-Wing, and Death Star 2.
A C-3PO head worn by Anthony Daniels in Return of the Jedi has sold for 843,750 US dollars through prop store auctions.
And Michael Culver, who played Captain Lorth Nida in The Empire Strikes Back, has sadly passed away at the age of 85.
Hi, this is Kenny Lee.
This is Roger Christian.
This is Misty Roses.
This is Vanessa Marshall.
This is Mike Quinn. I played Nine Numb in the Star Wars movies. And you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
Lukey boy, let's head back over 20 years now. Let's go back in time just a little bit, a couple of decades, to the halcyon days of 2002, when How You Remind Me by Nickelback, Complicated by Avril Lavigne, Foolish by Ashanti, and Wherever You Will Go by The Calling were ruling the airwaves. It was the year that Vice called the worst for fashion ever. Brazil won their fifth World Cup at the South Korea and Japan hosted tournament. Hybrid vehicles saw a real surge in popularity. The Queen Mother died, but Jenna Ortega, Emma Raducanu, and Finn Wolfhard were all born. But it was also the year that saw a Star Wars release not topping the worldwide box office charts for the first time ever. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers put pay to that, as did Potter and The Chamber of Secrets and Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. By Jove, what film are we talking about? Well, we are talking about the outlier to some people, the kind of weird cousin in the corner to others, but to some like us, the beloved Attack of the Clones from 2002. We are focusing this week on the weird and wonderful aspects that make up the much maligned but now slightly beloved second part of George Lucas's prequel trilogy. I know how much you enjoy this film, Lukey boy. I know how much you've championed this film. I can't remember how old you'd have been when this came out. I know you'd have been a wee lad, but we all talk about The Phantom Menace and, oh, what are your memories of seeing that? What do you remember about seeing Attack of the Clones as a wee lad? Because I know how much you dig it now.
Yeah, I hadn't long moved back to the promised land that is Essex from Devon as a kid. And yeah, I remember the promotional material. I remember the cinema, like going to a big cinema to see it. And long-term listeners will maybe remember this story, but I remember going on holiday in France in 2002 and seeing a huge French poster for Attack of the Clones. Even though I'd seen the film, I was asking my parents if I could see Attack of the Clones on holiday in
Le
France.
Clones et Attack.
And, yeah.
Or something.
And my dad and my mum had to explain to, you know, I'm pretty young at this point, but they had to explain, yeah, but Luke, you won't understand any of it, mate.
Like, little did they know.
It's going to be in French, mate. I was like, no. Even back then, I was like, no, I need my Attack of the Clones. I need it. Do you know what, mate? I adored this film growing up. You know, and I'm very much part of that prequel generation of kids, and I mean kids, that really, I think the prequel films really resonate with me, whether it's the themes or just the sequences, the sound effects, the characters. Attack of the Clones is so prequel in so many ways. I feel like in some ways, this film is revolutionary, right? And maybe this topic on its own, like, deserves its own episode. But It was the first digital blockbuster, right? It was revolutionary in a lot of ways. But, Matty, my days, this is a weird film. This is...
He's saying it's like the Book of Boba Fett of the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, that's our saying, isn't it? Is that Boba Fett is kind of like the Attack of the Clones of Star Wars TV. And do you know what? That might even not be accurate, because rewatching Attack of the Clones recently with the patrons of the Sickheads, once again, I had a lot of fun during it. And I said on the watch long, I was like, this is a fun film. And I weren't feeling 100% at the time, but nope. I thoroughly enjoyed myself with the film, with episode two. But mate, this is just a nuts film. I've been making notes, right? And I know you've been doing
for
some
years.
Stuff,
oh,
but, oh for years. On Attack of the Clones. Yeah, I've got a full-blown essay. This is pretty much what this episode is. This episode is like a podcast essay on why Attack of the Clones is so odd, mate. From what have you put in our shared notes? You've gone from assassin worms to changeling bounty hunters to Tim Morrison. I love that Tim Morrison's just his own
just his own thing
to Kit Fisto to Gian Oceans to Wat Tambor and more. Right, we're gonna tread on all of these. Yeah, we're gonna touch upon all of them. And I've written a whole load of stuff, mate. I don't know where you want to start. I don't know if you want to go from the top and go to the bottom. Like, where do you start? I mean, the initial sequence is pretty good, right? It's the only film that goes after the crawl, looks up, right, at the stars as opposed to going down.
Yes, that is, again, one of those things that fans notice and point out. Where the rest of us would probably think, oh, it says like I'm not a fan, but I don't really notice that kind of thing. But when it was pointed out, like, oh yeah, of course. Firstly, watching the film with the Sickheads on the Patreon watch along was great to get 15, 18 different people's opinion kind of all at the same time on that works for me. I don't like that. Oh, this is cool. Too weird. Not weird. And that was very, very fun. This is a film which is great to watch with a crowd. And also to get their recollections, like you've just given, of when they saw it for the first time and how they are, how they see it now at the age that they are. Very, very cool. But yeah, that intro, mate, it starts with a bang. But it starts off with a really cool, you know, a really cool shot with the Naboo ship coming down, and oh, there's the top of Coruscant. So we're back to where we were in The Phantom Menace. We saw Coruscant there. We're back again, grounding us in. Oh, look, it's Padme. Oh, look, that's not Captain Panaka. The actor wouldn't read the script, so we got booted. Instead, it's Captain Typho. Captain Typho. He's back, and what makes him stand out? Well, he has an eye patch. Why? He just has an eye patch. yeah, mate, the opening to this film is so much fun. The way that when that ship comes down and Typho's like, well, everything seems to have gone off without a hitch. Bang! He was like, so stupid. And I couldn't add this bit onto the notes. Well, I could have actually done, but there's a moment in that which just kind of sums up the entirety of the film for me, but I can't, annoyingly, I can't share it with the world as much as I could share it with Lukey Boy. When the ship blows up, there's a hilarious moment of where Captain Typho and the woman he's next to, of course, because they're acting against nothing, just have to sort of fling themselves back. I've sent it to you, Lukey Boy, and it should start at the exact moment because I've clipped it at the right time. But it's just a way they're like, really dramatically leap. There's nothing there. It's all digital. It's so camp. It's so stupid. And that sets the tone.
I've got a advert that's come up just before play.
It always works with YouTube, doesn't it?
Yeah. Classic. TV licensing. Oh, yeah.
It literally just stands there and there's like a standing back leap. It's so stupid. Yes. But to me, that is Attack of the Clones right there. Oh, nothing went wrong here. Blow up, throw yourself back, and that's the way we start.
Oh, that is such a quality start to the discussion. It's so outrageous.
It's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, that is absolutely outrageous. Okay, all right. Well, the film begins with a bang, like you said. Why does the bang happen? The bang happens because Padme is trying to, someone is trying to assassinate Padme.
Yes, yes.
Right? Right.
You are correct, sir.
Right. We all know it's convoluted, right? This is maybe one of the most convoluted assassination story arcs ever.
What's
ever.
That?
And the best way to describe it is this old clip that actually went viral years ago. Years and years and years ago, I remember seeing this, right? So I tracked it down on Reddit, of all places, and I grabbed the audio because this guy just explains it so beautifully. Matty boy, look, play this clip.
So I'm going to have everybody try to follow along with me real quick. So Palpatine needs Padme dead, but he doesn't want to do it himself. So he asks Count Dooku to go kill Padme, but Count Dooku doesn't want to do it himself. So Count Dooku asks Jango Fett to go kill Padme, but Jango Fett doesn't want to do it himself. So he asks his shapeshifter friend to go kill Padme, but the shapeshifter sends a robot to go kill Padme. And if you really want to be an and get even more granular, the droid says, I'll send these little bugs to go kill Padme. Palpatine sends a man who sends a man who sends a shapeshifter who sends a robot who sends bugs to go kill Padme. And what's even funnier is that after they chase the robot and the shapeshifter, Jango has a chance to go kill Padme. But instead, he goes out of his way to assassinate the person he hired to assassinate Padme. Secretly genius these prequels are. Many original ideas these movies have.
Oh, George is nothing if not a poet, eh?
Don't get it. I don't get it.
Full circle. I mean, I love. My favourite thing is, I haven't got it to hand, but I'm going to mention it anyway, is the rebuttals you get to this where fans in good faith would be like, well, actually, this is why this needed to happen. So there wasn't a paper trail towards Palpatine and that, but nah. I don't know about that. I find it funnier to listen to that and be like, no, that's my George. That is just coming up with like the Russian dullness of it all. We've said that 3 weeks in a row now. These Russian dolls. But he's like, nah. You see, is that it? Nope. We've got another one underneath. Another one. It's crazy. It's crazy to do that. And it's especially when you've got these assassins who I don't quite know why. I mean, Sam Westall, because it just shot her through the window. Would it have caused a kerfuffle? Yes. But the job would be done. Jango Fett could just swoop in with that jetpack he's got. Bish, bash, bosh. Padme, gone. Nah. Of course, someone's out there saying that's not the story. And of course, but it is. When it's as multi-layered as this plan, you can't help but look at it and think, oh, this is after Typho and his weirdness at the start, and it leads on to this. It's hard not to be 20 minutes in and think, what is going on here? What did I have for my breakfast this morning? What is going on?
Well, okay. Yes. The thing is, you can kind of explain why it's so extra, right? Even with the droid and the caterpillars, like maybe the window was bulletproof or something like that. But when someone is a changeling, which dare I say, is in itself like almost canon breaking.
Yeah. I've mentioned when you before think about that, it, what you've got these things out there. Why don't the rebels just be like, well, let's go to that planet and get loads of them and just pretend to be someone else? And there you are.
It's absurd. I don't really understand, and I don't really want to dig because it's just absurd. What gets me, mate, is that fans will complain about the new Star Wars content. They'll complain about the Holdo maneuver. They'll complain about, oh, Rey does this. Oh, blah, blah, blah. All of these really particular things that they've only really heard off of other people on YouTube, probably. Yep. Let's be honest. Maybe they've
bombs
not thought of it.
Don't drop in space.
Oh, don't. The drums, just, mate. Are you having a laugh? Are you having a, like, there's no right way up in space. It's awfully convenient that ships are always on the same level.
Yeah, I know. You can't build a Death Star. Sorry, but you just can't.
You complain about all of that, but you don't. And it is a particular generation of fans, because there are tons of people listening to this original trilogy. People are thinking like, yeah, this all sucks, right? Okay, well, you know, we love it. We grew up with it. It is a bit stupid. But the point is that when people criticize the new stuff, you know, new writing, which at times it can be ropey, but no way does it compare to the Attack of the Clones assassination story. It doesn't. You can't compare it. Done. Mate, finished. Case closed.
What's that boy called? Ochi of Bestoon's dagger was even less convoluted than this, because there were less steps. Just stand there, lift your dagger up, and you're done. This even that looks genius.
And we've not even, and I'm skipping, but we've not even got to the most convoluted part of the film. There is a massively important part of Star Wars mythology and plot.
Oh, I know what you mean, yes.
It's in Attack of the Clones, relating to Sifo-Dyas, relating to the clone army order. Like, yep. Someone just dialed up Kamino like it was a Chinese takeaway. You're right, mate. Can I have like
2 million clones? Please.
Yeah, please. Cheers.
Hey, paying for this. Klarna. Yeah. The first load now. We'll pay you back in a couple of months.
Put it on the Amex. Get the air That's miles. I don't get it, mate. I don't get how you can have such high standards for some stuff. And I think some people forget that. That's why I think it's really poignant. I mean, we were actually, you know, secrets out of the bag, right? We were meant to do this episode last week, but obviously a little trailer came into town. But when you look at the complaints, you know, being ledged against the Acolyte trailer or against other new parts of Star Wars storytelling, it's just the double standards with some people, mate, is absolutely bizarre. It is outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous.
It's unfair.
Attack of the Clones, mate. Anyway, we've got that out of the way, haven't we? Right?
I think. Yeah, I mean, just as Anne Wessel, the changeling Claudites, it's and the whole chase through the streets, through the air, the space, the orbit of Coruscant, whatever you want to call it, the skyline of Coruscant. Obi-Wan's just like, how do I stop this? I know, I'm going to jump out of a window and just hope something's there to catch. I hate it when he does that. What this does is everything up to the Claudite, the Zan Wessel section, is just chock full of quotes. And we all know the prequels are ripe for quotes and memes. But this, you know, oh, I hate when he does that. Obi-Wan's going to kill me. You've got the, so have you grow more beautiful. For a senator, I mean. You've got that. I've dreamt about her every day since that. There's so many lines in this which are awful, but we remember them fondly with a smile. And it is just pulpy fun. It is just like ridiculous pulpy fun for that first, well, for the whole thing. Let's not pretend. The whole thing is, but this intro is pretty breakneck. You have an assassination attempt. You have Anakin's flirting. Then you have the skyline chase leading up to his dart being shot into a changeling. It's pretty breakneck. We say the same about Tross, but yeah, it doesn't let up, obviously, because like you mentioned, him, the stuff we go into, it's just as weird. And when we say weird, guys, you know us. If you're new to the show, we don't mean weird as in terrible. We mean weird as in it's great, it's fun, it's silly, it's absurd, and that's why we like it. Just to make that distinction as well.
It's kind of campy, isn't it?
Yes.
And Attack of the Clones feels like it's from 2002 in some ways, but It you know, you just mentioned, you know, Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. You mentioned the second Harry Potter film. You mentioned the first Spider-Man film. These are all films that, yeah, they belong to that era. And by the way, what a year for films, like in pop culture. I was thinking earlier, like, that's wild just how much stuff came out during that time. But Attack of the Clones, in a lot of ways, also feels like it belongs to that 80s group of, you know, films and filmmaking, you know, that Spielberg, George Lucas sort of uber cheesiness at times. Yeah, I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
And the serialized Saturday morning shows like they always go on about from years gone by, it has that feel to it.
And it leans into that. It leans into that. 100%. Now, you mentioned, mate, just a minute ago, the Zan Wessel chase right through Coruscant. One of my favourite pieces of sound design, again, sound design in Attack of the Clones, probably an episode that belongs to itself, right? It's just so impressive. The sound design, the music in Attack of the Clones is sensational. But we get a little gift, which is basically the first time we hear an electric guitar in Star Wars. And it's back in 2002. Guys, this was radical at the time. And I've got a few snippets of some of my favorite uses of the guitar in the chase. Matt, play it, mate.
I'm just, mate, just the sound design, like you mentioned in the background there, it's popping, as the kids would say. Mate, one of my main memories of this as a nipper, however old I was when this came out, 2002 in May, old enough, I remember, this for whatever I thought about the film, I do remember thinking that was okay. It's fine. Now it's a little bit different, of course, but I always remember the sound design, because I remember that I remember reading about it from The Phantom Menace. But like that first chase there, the sound is great. I mean, again, broken record, but from the beginning, from that first ship approaching, the sound is fire all the way throughout. One thing Lucas and Ben Burtt and the gang all did back in those days was they focused on the experience, like the technology of it, you know, Lucas ILM and Lucas, what's it called, Skywalker Sound, revolutionized cinema. And it was put to no better use to me than certainly these first two prequel films and then the third one as well. They really nailed these sound designs. And one of the weirder aspects of the film for me, which ties into the music, is how dare this film have one of the best scores in the whole franchise? It's this film of all of them. And I say that tongue in cheek, but mate, you've got Across the Stars, but you've got all these other bangers, Yoda and the Younglings. So many good tunes here that John Williams has absolutely blasted out. And he's also doing Harry Potter 2, Chamber of Secrets at the same time. He's a busy guy. You know, this guy, the way the guy could just pull these quality scores out is insane. Like that, the love theme for Anakin and Padme is insane. It is the old sweeping ode to the golden age of Hollywood, but it's in this film, which is like the most campy, pulpy, spacey, sci-fi film of them all. And he, you know, John Williams delivers that. It's weird, but in a good way for me.
Yeah. I've mentioned it on here before, but I've photographed a wedding because I photograph weddings every now and then. And I photographed a wedding a few years back, I think 2021. And the couple had, and I was not aware that they were like big Star Wars fans, but I was in the ceremony. And as the bride was walking into the room, they played Across the Stars.
Oh,
and
mate.
I was like, this is wild. This is crazy. Yeah. So probably the greatest wedding ever.
What about your own?
No, I didn't play Across the Stars at the ceremony.
To be fair, that is, I get it. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the missus must be out. Is that right? She's not in earshot, is she?
That is actually correct. Yeah.
But mate, what a tune to come down to, mate. I know people who have had the Howard Shaw score for Lord of the Rings playing in the background, like the concerning hobbits and all that. I love that. But man, Across the Stars, come on! Especially for all those in the audience, all the guests, they don't know what it is, but they're like, oh, what a beautiful bit of music.
Yes.
Star Wars, mate. Star Wars.
I think people did react like that because Across the Stars, dare I say, it's not quite as well known in the pop culture zeitgeist as, say, the Imperial March, as the main theme.
Duel of the Fates,
Duel of the Fates, even. Yeah. Across the Stars maybe is a bit more subtle. I don't know. Maybe it's just not as well known. Craziness, mate. We're only like 15 minutes into the film. I just want to point that out. Like, I mean, we've already dissected enough stuff to go, this film is a bit odd, isn't it? So what a joy, mate.
Yeah, mate. It's and the thing is, the weirdest parts haven't even happened yet. But yeah, from chasing across Coruscant and the skylines, let's not stop there, mate.
Dexter Jetster. Do we even dare start with the best diner in Coruscant? Do we?
A diner. A 1950s diner. I know a lot of people got their undies in a twist about seeing a diner in Star Wars, but when it's run by this greasy four-armed basilisk, why are you gonna complain about this, man? It's Dexter Jetster. Whoa, what do you know? Come on.
I mean,
come on.
How does he know so much?
Jawa juice he's been drinking. It's all that stuff. And that was the funniest thing is that this was back in the day. I said this on the watch long, and I'll say it again. This was back in the day, and I know, look, Star Wars fans have always been notorious for pulling things apart and being opinionated because of their love for the universe. But back in the day, Obi-Wan went into a diner, met some bloke we've never seen before with holes in his T-shirt, and said, I've got a dart. I don't know where it's from, do you? And he looked at it and was like, actually, yes, it's from a hidden planet, which nobody really knows about. You don't see these very often anymore, but I have. Go to Kamino. That's where you'll find it. And even Obi-Wan's like, what? Yoda's like, what are you on about? Jocasta knew. It's like, if it's not in the archives, it does not exist. But Dexter, though, he knew where it's at. But back in the day, we just bought it. We were just like, yeah, that's cool. He just knows stuff. He's a fixer. We get away with it now, which is the sad part of pop culture. But mate, Dexter just knows things. He drinks Jarba juice and he knows things.
Once again, you just hit the nail on the head, mate. If this came out now, people would be ripping this scene a new one. They would be like, are you having a laugh? This geezer we've never seen before with four arms and a greasy apron knows this pivotal bit of information that is going to affect the outcome of the whole galaxy. Are you having a laugh? It's good fun, though. That's good fun. And you're once again bang on the money. At the time, into that 2002, especially as a child, you don't care. It's not that deep, is it? I mean, it doesn't mean it's a masterpiece. It doesn't mean Attack of the Clones is, you know, up there with Empire. It's not. It's not. But it's good fun. It is good fun. And I know a lot of people that have a good time with Dex. And we can just quote Dex at each other, the diner. Yeah, why not, mate? Why not?
Why not? They did the same thing in The Last Jedi with DJ in the prison. And whether you like it or not, it's just what happens in films sometimes. You're in the right place at the right time and you've got to move it along. Let's just have Deus Ex Machina in a diner or in a prison. That's just how it works. And with The Last Jedi, it was DJ. But Attack of the Clones has a beat because it's Dexter. Jester, our boy. And the funny thing is, up until kind of recently, where he's been name dropped in a few things really well, just didn't hear about him. Like from 2002 till about 2000 and probably 20, just didn't hear from him again. He did his thing and that was it. Done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was basically a time not long after the Disney acquisition, that the company and Lucasfilm, it felt like they were consciously just trying to avoid everything prequel. Like, anything prequel, I can't say that. That, you know, the films that shall not be named. You know, that's, yes. And Dexter was definitely part of that because he's an icon, because he is an icon of the prequels. Kamino, let's move on to Kamino. Kamino's a bit weird, but I only recently learned that, I've only recently remembered is what I should say, because I've probably read this before, but Kamino is based off of those early concept art ideas for Bespin, but they went with a cloud city as opposed to a water planet. And even architecturally speaking, Kamino and Bespin aren't a million miles away from each other, are they? You know, one's in the clouds, one's in water and has sweet, sweet flying sea creatures flying out of them with Kaminoans on them. What are they called again? Those...
I actually can't remember.
I'll Google it.
You Google it. Yeah. I can't remember, but it's, Avatar, eat your heart out. You know, George did it first.
Hang on, are they called Awas?
Possibly.
Awas? That's funny, because you've just mentioned Avatar, and isn't, like, the creator, isn't, like, the god in Avatar called Awa or something like that?
I don't remember. I have no idea. I can't. After a while, it all just got a bit... naff for me. I can't remember.
What, Avatar?
Yeah, he's fine. Looks beautiful, beautiful looking film, but ain't a fan of this, is it? It's not Attack of the Clones, sorry. I mean, even.
It's not Attack of the Clones.
But the Kamino, mate, I love Kamino for many reasons, because it's new, it felt new. An ocean planet. It's the first time that we've seen that in Star Wars. We've seen, obviously, Tatooine. We saw Hoth. We've seen Bespin, which was pretty crazy and far out. Endor. And then before that, Naboo, Coruscant. So, these, you know, cool planets. But this is a full-on ocean planet now. So I like it. And I have fond memories of the planet simply because it's just different. It's new. It felt like we were in a different piece of Star Wars storytelling, finally. And you know me, I love when I new things, let's push it forward. This was one of them. And then you go inside and you've got these real sci-fi long-necked aliens, the Kaminoans, which on first viewing, and even now, I think the Bad Batch are doing a lot to help them out, to be fair, but even now I sometimes look at the Kaminoans in Attack of the Clones and think, Ooh, that is straddling that sci-fi line a little bit there, but I still like them because they're new. I'm not going to turn around and say, oh, what, this is new, but I don't like it. I like that they just didn't give us something we've seen before. George went with the most ethereal, weird-looking thing he could find, and, you know, they've now become an integral part of the story. But the whole idea of Kamino, and then, of course, they introduce this cloning operation, like you mentioned, with Sifo Dyas. And then suddenly the story goes from the Phantom Menace trade route disputes and things like that to cloning. This is very much a different gateway now for the franchise, isn't it?
Yes, mate. Yeah, big time. I mean, we've already mentioned it, but we're now heading toward the whole cloning story. What? What happens? So, I still don't get it. So, a bloke called Sifo Dyas.
Yep.
who was originally in the script meant to be Sidious, right? Or a play on
Sido Dyas, yeah.
But then there was a typo, and they're like, right, we'll just Sifo Dyas. And this person is the person that ordered the clone army, right? And I think it's kind of been retconned, hasn't it? Yeah, because they've created this Sifo Dyas character, whereas originally it was meant to be, you know, an alter ego of Palpatine. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Explain this to me, mate. Sifo Dyas is a Jedi dude who orders the clone army. Why does he order it? It is because of the influence of Palpatine.
Do you know what? There is, probably Damon, Alex Damon as well, but there is someone who's done a really good video of this, because I always get confused as to why, because Sifo Dyas, again, a lot of, like everything, George Lucas or even Star Wars, there's had to be a little bit of backbending to try and make it all make sense a little bit. Because, you know, who's Sifo Dyas? Why did he order these clones? How come the Republic or Jedi never knew anything for 10 years? The Clone Wars came in clutch and gave him an awful lot of help there. Dooku Jedi lost the book, the audio script recently, did help as well. But that was more about, like, young Sifo Dyas rather than what he went on to do. But it's a great story about him. But the Clone Wars seems to have filled in some blanks. But I'll tell you something, mate. It's even now, after all these years, it still confuses me. And I bet there's a really simple explanation. By the look of your face, you've got it, haven't you?
No. Are you having a laugh?
You look really smug and happy then. I was like, oh, he's gonna show me.
I've just gone to my notes and I've literally put, does he know that Sidious ordered the clone army? You know, like, I'm talking about Dooku here. So this is now a little bit further on into the film where, like, Dooku's mentioning Sifo Dyas and stuff again to Kenobi. Oh, he's talking to Kenobi. But I'm saying, like, does Dooku know that Sidious ordered the clone army? Does he know that Sidious is Palpatine? Is he motivated by idealism or the dark side? You know, Attack of the Clones doesn't really answer any of those questions. You're kind of just thrown into it. Same with Sifo. Exactly. The lore does. The film doesn't. And this is where you have to do a little bit of a balancing act, don't you, with Star Wars and the mythology. Like, does the canon come first, or does a solid individual standalone film come first? Or sometimes you have to do a bit of both, especially when you are building a huge universe. And I think it's worth noting that despite its flaws, clearly in plot, clearly in dialogue and a lot of other areas, to me, Attack of the Clones feels like a really big film. It feels like a really good, big, big, big film. And as a child, it really did spark my imagination with the Star Wars universe and what could be, what could happen, how it would all wrap up in episode 3. It was crazy, mate. But whether it's Sifo Dyas or Dooku, you know, Dooku's another dude. When you think about it, he kind of just turns up.
He just turns up in this film out of nowhere, mate. But again, he's just there. We're fine. He's just there. And it's Christopher Lee. So it's also like, yeah, that's fine. So Christopher Lee, again, rocking the Saruman, looking the same year. Lots of crossover going on, man. This busy, busy guy. But yeah, I think I've just been doing a little look up. Apparently in the Clone Wars, it kind of posits that Dooku was behind the clone army from the start, and Cypher Diaz is kind of a fall guy. I might be wrong there, guys, but I've just done a very quick read of like the synopsis for that, the Lost Missions arc. But yeah, Dooku's just there, and you know, is he a Sith? Is he not a Sith? We're getting into all that again now. Oh, he doesn't have the Sith eyes, so is he or not? But he's got a red lightsaber. He himself, I don't know if we've done it actually or not, but Dooku is an episode as well of its own. Like, what is the story of Count Dooku? Is he a baddie? Is he this mastermind? Is he this moustache twirling geezer? Was he misunderstood? Was he just misaligned? There's so much there to talk about. And to be fair, this film does a good job of helping us with that, because yeah, he gets into fights with our heroes, but we also see him talking with Obi-Wan, trying to reason with him, and he's, you know, saying some real home truths. What if I was to tell you that the Senate was under control of a Sith Lord? And of course, in their hubris, the Jedi, especially, and obviously Obi-Wan's like, yeah, you're talking rubbish, and just moves on. When in fact, mm-hmm. Dooku was essentially saying, join me, we can put an end to this. You know, maybe it might not be how the Jedi wants, but we can smooth things out in a way which would be better than a Sith Lord, surely. But they say, so we get our first idea then, is like, is this guy a bad guy? Yeah, he's on the bad side, though some would argue the Separatists weren't the bad guys. But yeah, again, story for that. We've already done that episode, I'm sure. But he just turns up and he's just another bad guy, a bit like Grievous in the next film. They're just there. This villain of the week almost. But I like Dooku in this. I think Count Dooku, I think Christopher Lee always elevates everything, even if he's fed bad dialogue. And I got to say, mate, Christopher Lee, he has done some absolute dross in his time, but he is also on screen, hear me out here, with the Separatist Council on Geonosis. He's sitting next to Nute Gunray, Poggle the Lesser, Wat Tambor, a moon called San Hill, an Aqualish called Po Nudo, a Quarren called Tickies, a Holwoth called Rogwa Wadrata, and a Korivar senator called Pascal Argenti. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? He's sitting there. He's the only human amongst this alien council as they sign this accordance on Geonosis. And he says two words, mate, which form the backbone of Star Wars going forward. You know what, want to know what those words are?
Go on, mate. Tell me. Preach.
Techno Union. Techno Union. Yeah, man. We thank the Techno Union for their help.
Techno Union.
Techno Union.
Why does he? Techno Union Army.
The Techno Union.
What's funny is it's so real. It's like you know, the stupid crew of mob not mod riders, scooter riders.
Yeah, yeah.
In Book of Boba Fett, being called the dub crew. You're like, oh right. So it's named after just. Yeah, it's the name, mate. The names
Jungle Massive.
Crazy. They're crazy. And then once again, if you're just thrown into this film, you are thinking, what on earth is going on? What Tambor is going on? Yeah, now we're talking. Let's see.
Good times.
Listen, there's so much, mate. There's so much I've just got to like bash out because I'm just aware of time, mate. Yeah, Obi-Wan kicking Jango Fett on Kamino. Just to shout
yeah,
just
does.
Quickly to that. What's another the pair moment between Anakin and Pat? Have you got the pair moment?
Got the
My
pair down
days.
Yet?
What?
How does she get that fork into that pear like that? Because it must be really squishy pear. Yeah, she just sort of like taps it in. Oh, it's affixed to my fork.
I don't know.
Fancying Anakin at all in this is just absurd. Look, Padme's a babe. Anakin's a babe. But he's also clearly has issues. You know.
A murderer?
He's a murderer. And he did just kill the men, mate. He killed the women and the children too. Let's not forget that.
And she still thinks, oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, go on then. Look at his muscles. So, oh, he's got a good looking guy, though, isn't he? The bit where they're rolling around in the field. See, I actually quite like that scene. I think that's one of Padme's best looks as well. I think she looks great in that scene, but not the actual design, the costuming as well. But like that scene where she's talking about, you know, her old boyfriend and he's getting a bit jealous, and then they're kind of pitting their ideologies against each other. And I quite like that. And then the scene where they roll around in the field is just as fun. I Hayden was like, oh, I didn't do it right. Can we do it again? He kept retooting that. But yeah, it's a fun scene. People, look, is there chemistry, all that? Who knows? It's not for me to say. But I like those scenes, you know, where they're just frolicking in a field. Are they cheesy? Yes. But I like them because you've got to fit them in somewhere. And at one point, he's literally carrying two literal suitcases for her. You look at them, they're just suitcases. They barely even conceal the fact that they're like Samsonite suitcases.
I know the suitcases you'd find at Heathrow Airport. Like, they're not even droids.
No,
they're just normal. And that's the chance from like Attack of the Clones. What, you're not weird enough in that bit? In that one, everything else you're weird, but like, you know, and wonderful, but like that bit, no, you're not quite.
They're trying to fit in, but the garish outfits they're wearing, or certainly Padme, even though she is toned down comparatively, says he could probably got away with a floating suitcase and nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah, that's true. That is big time true. I always like what you say about, like, you know, young love can sometimes be super awkward and super cheesy, super cringe, right, in real life. And
oh, yes.
You know, is it exactly how it's portrayed in Attack of the Clones? No, not really. But in some ways, if you squint, you're like, oh, it is kind of relatable in some ways.
Any particular lines?
I can't, mate. I can't. I mean, I hate sand.
Yes.
All right. All right. Okay. All right. I hate sand. Of course, it's rough. It gets everywhere, but not like you. It's, oh, mate.
Yeah, I don't like mushrooms, but I don't really say that to somebody on a first date.
I think you should.
Yeah, they're earthy. They smell and
you should.
They get everywhere.
You should ask them, like, do you like mushrooms? When
I will do that next. People were saying, well, he came from a sand planet. Of course, he was a slave, so he wouldn't like sand. So it's a perfectly normal thing, and he's clearly an awkward chap, but it has become like the punching bag line for this film, hasn't it? The I don't like sand thing.
I mean, it's become a punching bag line for the whole series. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Once again, I'm going to remind you, listeners, imagine if this came out now. People would slate it. People would be going crazy over it. The YouTubers that do those kind of, you know, laser eye videos, like anti anything videos, you know, because they clearly don't critique, right? They clearly just wait for something to come out and jump on the negative.
Oh yeah, there's no intelligence there.
It's in their financial interest to do that, right? Mm-hmm. That's the model of what they got going on. Right, fast forward to the Geonosis Arena, mate. Padme, how about this? It involves Padme. Padme jumping crotch first from the top of the murder pole onto the reek.
That's why Luke Skywalker ended up the way he did. Just later down the line, there's obviously some troubles there, but yeah, that is a fool. I mean, that is a masterclass on how to land.
Good job. Yeah, at the time, I never thought anything of it, but now I'm like, what is this?
And he did. I would have loved. I don't know if there is not, but I hope the sound design kind of has a vroomp as he falls down. That would be great, but, mate. If I told you, I think our lives are about to be destroyed anyway. Yeah. I truly, deeply love you, and before we die, I want you to know. Even Annie in that moment's like, what? Me? What are you talking about? You said this earlier. That's a clip. But then the music is great. The assortment of nasties that come out, the Reek, the Aklay, the Nexu, and the other ones.
Oh.
Great, mate. You know, as a kid watching that, you're like, oh yeah, cool, monsters. And as a an adult, yeah, cool, monsters. It's the same thing. And the way that they have to get around them. And, you know, obviously Padme takes a slash in, but, you know, it's an extended action sequence, which, as you said, just helps make this film feel big.
I always wanted the Geonosis Arena.
The Petronaki Arena.
Yeah, the toy, you know, for the 3¾ action figures. Like, I always look at that and I see it every now and then on like eBay. Oh, mate, no, I can't.
You've got your own room now.
It's kind of, yeah, that is true, but it's kind of like a dream piece, isn't it? But where do you put it? Imagine as a kid, you get that, and shout out, by the way, to the Attack of the Clones toy line. It was
big.
It's huge, and it's absolutely mesmerizing. It is a mesmerizing line. There are so many characters, so many cool vehicles. The designs are superb. Superb. I love it. And that arena, I think, actually looks really decent. It looks really decent. A lot of the scenes in that, I think, are better than what people give it credit for. And of course, we get the huge Jedi battle, mate. You know, I don't know if this qualifies as weird per se, but it was definitely a first. Like, we'd never seen more than a few Jedi on screen before.
Mm-hmm. No.
In action with lightsabers. It was absurd. Done.
In The Phantom Menace, you got to see the three main heroes fight together somewhat, I guess, kind of. Whereas in this arena, you see Obi, Annie and Padme, you know, throwing down together. And at one point, they're on the back of the same beast together. So it's the first time you really see our key protagonists together. And then, you get, like somebody said in our watch along, you know, everyone's like synchronized, like, right, when he says this, you stand up first and light your saber, then we'll all do it. And they all bought tickets to be there. But it is a great visual.
It is a really cool visual. I remember getting a newspaper spread, and it was a double page, and I kept the newspaper for it, but it was a double page look at the Geonosis battle. Ooh. Arena, and the Jedi are in the circle with all their lightsabers like ignited, and you've got all the droids surrounding them.
Yeah,
I remember just being in awe at that photo and the hype as a kid. Once again, in 2002, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, this is just it's epic. Quality.
And to bring this full circle to what we've been talking about at the beginning, and I really hate to be the guy to do it, but everyone gets very excited about all these frankly faceless Jedi in the crowd. We don't know who 99% of them are, but we see lightsabers and we think, the Acolyte's going to be doing that, man. And so far, the people are saying, oh no, it's going to be rubbish, it's going to be this, that and the other. Dude, lightsabers for days. This is what matters. It's just a matter of if it's Clone Wars, sequels, prequels, whatever. It's lightsabers for days. And I really, really like that scene, mate. We finally get to see the clones as well in action. Around the survivors, a perimeter creates that classic line. I almost had to sort of bend my head to try and say that correctly. It's so stupid, but mate,
well
we get
done,
the clones.
Well
we
done.
Thank you, mate. We get an LAAT. We get all these gunships, man. And of course, the leading into the Clone Wars themselves. Oh, this party's over. You know, Mace Windu just add like improv lines, by the way, just ad hoc in his word lines, clearly. You know, he went up to George and said, oh, I'm going to say this party's over. And George would have just said,
this party's over.
This party's over. Christopher Lee, this thespian psych, is this it? Really? Wow.
He's thinking, oh, what? I had to fly to Australia for this, mate. You having a laugh?
I'm nearly 90 years old. Give me a break.
I had to do a five hour layover in Singapore. It's not worth it.
This party is over now. I've done.
Because they filmed Attack of the Clones Studios in Australia.
Yes, sir.
Sydney, if that's news to you. Not one clone is practical in Attack of the Clones. Not one. There is no armor. And it's at times you can really tell. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that looks kind of good. That looks kind of real. But no. It's all CG. All CG. Again, of its time. And it's very Attack of the Clones. First digital blockbuster, mate. It's a big deal, massive deal. Throughout the kind of climax of this film, there was all sorts of madness going on. I don't even know if I want to dive into the droid factory stuff. It was added in. We said it in the watch along. I just don't get. I don't understand. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be there.
Is that the one sequence in one of the sequences in Star Wars? But it's always the one I go to when I think. I just think it just stinks. Like the whole way, like the. The obviously our boy Tony Daniels and his lines he's given, and you know, Anakin and Padme just like galumphing about, and it was in there to increase the tension and the stakes and the pace, when I think the original scenes were Ki-Adi-Mundi and somebody else, might have been Barriss Offee or someone, going off to shut something down, which is then why they're then brought into the arena at the end really oddly. Like, where'd you come from? So that was the original, but then it gives those other two Jedi a little bit more meaning for the story. But yeah, this, I just, you know, C-3PO's head being stuck on a droid's body, battle droid, the battle droid on his body, die Jedi dags, and all this other, it's even as a kid I didn't like it, or a younger person, it just didn't work for me. Like, oh, this is a drag. None, it just didn't work, because it just felt for me, Attack of the Clones jumps the old shark many, many times, but I love it. But the droid factory scene was just something that always stuck out to me. It's always something which wound me up a lot. And, you know, this is a film where you've got Death Sticks, you've got Watto in his little fishing outfit, you've got Christopher Lee versus a flipping green goblin, and it's the droid factory. I'm like, yeah, nah. Even though it's a factory, which is the most grounded thing in the film, I'm like, can't be dealing with this.
That's a good point.
Can't be dealing with it.
I mean, even the clones, when they arrive, although I think is actually epic, I love that. And once again, I think it kind of sparked the imagination of a lot of young fans, you know, with the Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith. People fell in love with that. They fell in love with the look of the clones and kind of the action-packed awesomeness of it.
It's another episode there, clones.
Traditionally speaking, heroes charge from left to right.
This is true.
In films, don't they?
They do, yep.
And I think in paintings as well. Whereas George made the conscious decision to be like, no, the clones in this battle are going to be going from right to left. You know, kind of. And I that's such an overlooked detail, and that is, it's a subtle detail that I wouldn't have noticed at all, you know, especially when I was a kid, but that's something that I need assistance with, or I've read elsewhere, learned from other people. I think someone mentioned it on the watch along again, reminding us of it. And that is fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. It's a cool, cool detail. And we see it again, even more recently. I don't want to do spoilers, but in another film recently, the same thing happens with one of the main protagonists.
Yes,
they go right to left instead of left to right.
Left to right.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you just mentioned the C-3PO get mash up bit. Yeah, die Jedi dogs, unbelievable. Yoda flipping around the duel.
Here we go.
I don't want to underestimate how important that was at the time. We'd never seen Yoda with a lightsaber, and people I don't think could ever imagine it until you see a little dude flipping about all over the place, mate. And on the records, I don't remember this, but the records are that a lot of people freaked out. They went mental when Yoda. Do you remember? Did that happen in your theater or?
It absolutely did not, but I have seen a lot of these. And for me, mate, the most badass bit of the fight is simply when, you know, the Obi-Wan and Anakin, they've just been tossed aside by Dooku. He's absolutely murked them. Cut Anakin's arm off. Kill him. Now I'll just throw you back. But the coolest part for me is kind of when everything stops and you just see the shadow of Yoda coming in. And that's when you're like, right, something's going to go down here. Let alone the fight itself, which has its great moments. It is very jarring still. I like it. I've actually grown to appreciate it more. But it's still Christopher Lee fighting a frog who making these really weird noises. But the coolest part is when he comes in on his cane, mate, and he's like, and you're like, oh, yeah, here he comes. Here comes Sensei. He is going to absolutely wipe the floor with Dooku. Mm-hmm. He pulls his robe aside, uses the force to get his saber. And, you know, Dooku is a match for him to a certain point, from a certain point of view. And I quite like that. It shows that Dooku isn't just a fool. He's taken out Obi-Wan. He's taken out the Chosen One. And now he's going toe-to-toe with Yoda. I was like, damn, this guy's good. But yeah, mate, the coolest part is when Yoda just walks in. I'm like, oh, here we go. But yeah, I've heard the stories that the theatres, probably in the States, erupted at that moment when he got the saber out.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that happening?
It is great. Yeah, yeah. I remember kind of the viewing, but again, I was really young, mate. I was, same with Phantom Menace. It's ooh, more blurry memories and everything around the film that I almost like remember more. Whether it was at school or the merchandise, the product. I loved Attack of the Clones, and I used to rewatch that film on VHS all the time, on repeat. Worth noting, this was also the last Star Wars film released on VHS.
Yep.
Before the DVD takeover. So yeah, it's incomplete, mate. VHS collection incomplete for Star Wars. I'm sure there are fan stuff out there, mate. But listen, this film has a lot of flaws. I think we can confidently say this is the most weird Star Wars film. I think. Would you agree?
I really would agree with you, mate. It's just like the whole thing. It's the whole package. It's the feel. It's the vibe. It's the tone. Not just the wonky dialogue or the array of aliens. It is little things like the guy in the bar selling death sticks. It is like Dooku's like pun walker solar sailor ship. Again, like Watto in general being in his little green outfit.
Even Dooku's lightsaber.
Clear glass, just in general, just clear glass as being this like gruff old war veteran kind of fella. But yeah, from the pulpy beginnings to the mystery thriller that we call it, to the over the top action at the end, the Clone Wars has, leading up, and it ends in a wedding. You know, it ends in forbidden love and betrayal and all this kind of stuff as well. Most important part of Star Wars, as I've always said. The whole thing, it's just the weirdest package we've had in a film. And watching it with the watch along, doing research for this show, it did make me think, oh, man, I don't subscribe to the new films in any franchise. Some maybe are products. I don't believe in all that stuff because they're made of love and passion. But I do. I watch this film and be like, they wouldn't release this now because it's just so wild, it's so wacky. And part of me does kind of yearn for that a little bit. Whereas the Book of Boba Fett did give us that, and even me at the time was like, oh, this is weird, I don't know about this. But rewatching this, I do kind of yearn for those times when you could just have a little bit of fun, not worry too much about why Dexter Jetster just is, and just enjoy yourself. And I do kind of miss that a little bit. And this film is full of that for me, mate.
It's the Tim Morrison effect, mate. It's the Tim Morrison effect. I mean, I'll leave the conversation with this thought, mate. The Jedi are flawed. That's kind of an ongoing theme of the prequels, right?
Yes.
They meet Jango Fett. They meet Jango Fett, right? And the clones are modelled after
Jango Fett.
Jango Fett, which in itself is bizarre. It's weird, but I love it. It's great.
Hunter.
You're like, okay, right, because he's physically fit. Yeah, I get it. Okay. That bounty hunter is working for Dooku.
He's on the balcony with him.
And tried to kill Padme.
And he's on the balcony. And Dooku's even said to Obi-Wan, come on, mate, open your eyes.
And the Jedi don't for a minute think, hang on, lads. Hang on, this army, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
He's a good looking guy, great accent, but something ain't adding up here, lads. What's going on?
It says it all. Attack of the Clones, you're wonderfully weird, and I love you.
Hi, this is Daniel Roebuck.
Hey, what's up? It's Taylor Gray.
This is Misty Roses.
This is Mike Evans.
This is Jeremy Kuhn. I'm the director of A Disturbance in the Force, producer of Napoleon Dynamite, and you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
Well, that was a trip down memory lane that I'm glad we had. I do enjoy these nostalgia-fueled ventures into the weird and wonderful prequel trilogy. But now, it's time. We have pulled up the Essex Falcon outside of our favourite dusty drinking hole, the Bantina, and the only question remains is, shall we?
Let's do it. Yeah, come on.
Can I offer you a libation to celebrate the closing of our shared narrative? A libation.
Can I persuade you to join us for a drink?
Humphrey, give me the spiciest drink you've got.
Pour me another Park Kellen Sling.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink?
Yes, here we are. Each week in the Bantina, we hear from you guys, the greatest listeners in the galaxy. We have a couple of Kef beers, or Jawa juice if you fancy, and we want to hear your thoughts on what we've been discussing. So for this episode, we asked for your opinions on the most wonderfully weird things in Attack of the Clones.
Yes, and to kick us off, we're going to look at some comments from Instagram. Twin Sons Collecting Our Boys said, CGI Django banging his head on the door while climbing the ramp as a nod to the A New Hope Stormtrooper. Which is true, isn't it? On Kamino, when yep. he's leaving, George put it in.
And he bashes his
brilliant.
Head.
Genius. They gone to say what Tambor's dodgy voice box. Well, we know.
Come
it's
on.
A rave, don't we? So
come on.
the super battle droid punching the other battle droid in the battle. Yeah, that's true. Dexter Jetstar, I could go on and on and on. Yes, fantastic comment, man. The Jedi Path says everything in the droid factory scene. Just everything in that. Yes, fair play, mate. Ben the Archer said, Speeder Flies by, what is that? Yeah, Speeder Flies by Guitar Screams. Which is something we said. And then Harry Tompkins said, some background Jedi with two sabers messing up some battle droids. I remember people saying this on the watch along as well. They were like, yeah, if you look there, like these poor battle droids just get mullered left, right, and center.
I need to watch that again.
Strong start on Instagram, mate. What are people saying on X and Facebook and that?
Let's have a look. I also want to imagine John Williams shredding the electric guitar. I just want to imagine him just letting his hair down. Over there on thex.com, Stacey with a bad hair. I'm sure your hair's fine, fella. Just said seismic charges. Clo Cool 811. Absolutely love this scene. The scene in question is Kit Fisto after he's force pushed the droids. Camera cuts back to him. He's got a big old grin on his face, big old smiley Kit. C. Sherman Run says the most wonderfully weird part of Attack of the Clones is that the Kaminoans have New Zealand accents, which is why all the clones do. I do enjoy a Kiwi accent. Gordon Brown, our boy, not the ex-chancellor, he said the nonsense with the pair is a bit odd. And James says Kit Fisto is an icon despite being a side character. You're right there, mate. Two I found here on Facebook. Andrew Sheard, wonderfully weird things about Attack of the Clones, mate. Poggle the Lesser, big old insect man talking in clicky clacks, walking with a cane, and had a handful of the Death Star plans. And Alan Sosa has a picture, a gif of Anakin Skywalker in Attack of the Clones saying this guy having Padme fall for him. So came in good over there, guys.
I mean, the Death Star plans are such a shout, you know? I don't know if it constitutes as the wonderfully weird stuff, but
the idea that in A New Hope, that thing they blew up was originated with these flying bugs.
Yeah, good point. good point. Yeah, yep. Touche. All right, the we asked and the people delivered, mate, as far as I'm aware. Yeah.
As always, as you always do, guys. So thank you ever so much for sending in your comments over the last week or so. We read all of them. We appreciate all of them. And if you didn't hear your comment featured, please do continue to send in your thoughts. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be featured in an upcoming stint in the Bantina.
For extra content, go to patreon.com/StarWarsSessions. You know it's going to be so good.
Best podcast. Best podcast.
Best podcast. That's right. It's the spices part of the Bantina. And our first Patreon question comes from a familiar name, Sean Hudson. Huh. He says, greetings, exalted spicy nitpickers. I've recently reinstalled Battlefront 2 and it's as good as ever. Cheeky two questions. Number one, let's organize a mass sessions online meetup to play. And number two, if you could choose a new DLC for Star Wars Battlefront 2, what would you go for? Could be new world, new game type, etc. I'd love to see some Bad Batch members in there and maybe add in some Exegol. Stay spicy and hope to see you all soon. Oh, and Johnny O, I've still got your signed book by Kevan Scott. I'm smelling a meetup is needed, lads. Much love. Big hug. P.S. Matt, you still owe me fiver. Brilliant. Brilliant. What are you saying, mate?
Fiver. You can shove the fiver. That's what I'm saying. No, mate, he did bring around a cavalcade of Gregs the other week, so cannot fault the man. Sessions, ooh. Battlefront meetup, but look, always up for it. It's just trying to get everyone together at the same time. Plus, I don't think it's crossplay, which doesn't help. If it was, I don't think. If it was cross.
No, it's not.
Nah, of course it wouldn't be. It's early. If it was crossplay, that would be absolutely disgusting. And I really wish it was, because I think if it was crossplay, it would be one of the more popular games to play online. But yep, put the word out on the Discord, and I'm sure there'll be people who are willing to play. I've been playing a bit, not as much in the last couple of weeks, but this year I've been enjoying it. In terms of DLC, though, mate, Exegol, fantastic shout. Really would love to fight on Exegol. Imagine doing like the air stuff and then on the ground. But you can look at Mando as well. My one, though, is Star Wars Rebels DLC. Stick it on Lothal, because then you can introduce the whole Rebels gang, mate, including Ahsoka, including Rex. You can stick Thrawn in, his little pet, whatever that thing is, goblin, Rook. Yeah, and you can and you can really have a lot of fun with that, I think, as well. And it's another way of just, you know, giving the people what they want, the Rebels crew. So I'm going to say Star Wars Rebels, but what about you, mate?
Rebels. I'm going to go for, I think, an obvious one, an easy one. Mandalorian, mate. Yeah. Navarro. Shootout.
Shootout.
And once again, I know I've said it. I know I've laboured the point. I've said it in previous episodes. But a Battle Royale. Just do a Battle Royale mode on Navarro. You can customise your own bounty hunter. You can earn in-game stuff. You can buy, parts like new helmets and stuff,
yeah,
but it doesn't affect the in-game experience. It's not
it's online game, isn't it? Yeah,
dude, that would just be amazing. If could you imagine if Battlefront 2 was still supported today, and they did, because they could do this if they were to introduce microtransactions again for aesthetics only,
and be transparent about it.
People would be over the moon with it, mate. People would be going crazy for that game, because Sean's right, the game does hold up. The graphics are superb.
It's incredible, mate. I mean, we're probably not going to get a Battlefront 3 anytime soon, but it looks incredible, mate, and it really does.
Yeah, I totally agree, mate. Totally agree. I don't know. I think there's so much ridiculous potential. It's a shame it's not being supported, mate, and it is slowly dying, but every now and then I jump on there and I find a game quite easily. It doesn't take me long to find a match, which is a good thing. You know, this game released in 2017,
7 years ago.
My word, that was a while ago, and it's still fun. The amount of times I played that game.
That's barely been supported in the last, 4 years at least, post-Tross. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. And the graphics hold up. The gameplay's great. It's a lot of fun. It's carnage. Good memories. I do like the story mode as well.
Could you imagine like an Andor-themed like extraction mode? Mate, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
That's the problem is, yes, I can. I can. Oh. All of these Disney Plus shows, maybe minus Kenobi, because we've already got the prequel elements. I think you could have a great time with like post Jedi Ahsoka, Mando, Acolyte. Oh, mate, but I'm getting excited now. Great shout, though, with Exegol. Great shout of Mando. great shout of Rebels. I'm giving myself a pat on the back there. So, yeah, everybody out there, what would you like to see from, hypothetically, from a Battlefront 2 DLC if you had the final say over there at DICE and EA Star Wars? Thank you, Shawnee Boy. The next one is from James, the Max Rebo Experience, who says, from what I've seen, it looks like Captain Carson Teva's X-Wing is very similar to Luke Skywalker's. Perhaps Carson Teva was part of Rogue Squadron until being transferred to the Adelphi Rangers. I wonder if his distrust of former Imperials led to his banishment. Does this seem possible to you lads? What are you saying, mate?
Right, okay. So Carson Teva's X-Wing does look a little bit like Luke's, but the paint job is different, right? So Carson's X-Wing has like blue highlights on it. Whereas, what squadron is it? It's Rogue.
Rogue Squadron, because he's Rogue leader, isn't he? Luke in whatever film it is.
Yeah, Rogue Squadron.
Empire.
X-Wings. Now, let's not look at Luke's per se, but let's look at the team of X-Wings and what they're look, it's come up with all the books. Yeah, see, they've all got red detailing on it. We all know Luke's had red detailing, but they all have red detailing, which I was sure of, but I just wanted to double check. So in short, mate, in some moments they do look similar, but Carson Teva has the blue highlights. So I don't think so. I don't think they are the same. In some shots, it almost looks red, especially when they're in space, but it's not. It's blue.
It's the New Republic colouring, isn't it? That's why it's blue.
Right. So maybe it was a paint job. Have I just waffled on about something that's irrelevant then?
I don't think so. I mean, for my answer is maybe, because to me all X-Wings look the same because it's an X-Wing. That is literally my first thought, James, mate, was not to belittle the question, but I was like, oh, X-Wing could be the same because it looks similar. But of course, the paint job and all that. I know, it would be a fun story. And so in short, my actual note says, as DJ would say, maybe, because we don't know anything about Captain Carson Teva prior to him turning up in the Mando. Mm-hmm. I think it would be fun. And would it be one of those things which would be like, oh, that was cool. He used to be part of Rogue Squadron. And then he just really didn't like former Imperial. He just didn't like working with these geezers. So he got sent to another squadron out there at the Adelphi base with all the other misfits like Trapper Wolf and Zeb. I like the sound of it. It seems possible. Yeah. But to me, as someone who doesn't really notice the decals and paint jobs on the ships, I can't ever say that I looked at his ship in Mando or in Ahsoka and thought, huh, that looks familiar. So you may actually be telling me something I didn't know there, James, that in fact actually it is very similar. I'm just not noticing it. But in terms of the backstory, I'd be here for it. I think it'd be quite fun if he was actually a little bit naughty and that's why he got sent to the other squadron.
Yeah, and maybe it's just not consistent or something. Maybe James is onto something. Because now I'm itching my head thinking, oh, maybe he's got a point, and because I'm looking at different scenes and one minute it's red, one minute it's the X-Wing's blue. I'm not sure. I'm going to come back to you, James, on this, mate. But it's a good question.
He's going to hold you to that.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm going to have a little research. Maybe it might be a Reddit job. Who knows? That's like the fourth mention of Reddit this episode.
Yeah, don't sponsor us.
Cheers, mate, though. Much appreciated. James, and our last question of the week in the Patreon department comes from Robert Frost, our boy, London boy, who says, what's the best sound effect in Star Wars? You can't say Slave One seismic bombs. Now, I think that's already a disadvantage. But what are you going to say, mate? There's loads to choose from. What stands out?
Well, that is obviously relevant because it's Attack of the Clones. We didn't mention it because we had a Patreon question about it. We had a seismic bombs. Come on. Also, Little Boba Fett. Yep. So my favourite, the best sound effect in Star Wars. It just from Attack of the Clones, I love that. The ship at the beginning, that ship, it sounds great. The pod racers. I also love, and actually, to be fair, this is more sound design than effect, but I've started, so I'll finish. But I've said it before, Palp's Force Lightning in Rise of Skywalker, when he's babbling on, we'll see the return of the Sith, and he puts his hands to the sky and it goes silent, and then like I love that bit of sound. I love the sound design in the Rise of Skywalker, period. I think it's boss, certainly on Exegol. But yeah, I love that. But my favourite one, mate, this is basic Billy, but you don't mess with the OG. Ben Burtt and George Lucas really created gold here. The sound of a lightsaber igniting.
Oh, I was wondering.
Blast of energy before the hum. The sound of a lightsaber is iconic. We've all done it. We all do it with a roll of paper, a tube, cardboard tube, with a broom, whatever. We pretend it's a lightsaber. And it is iconic, and I absolutely love that. And it gives me a kick, mate. Whether I'm playing a game or watching a film, and the good guy or the bad guy standing there, and suddenly they just look at every person, flick out their wrist, and. Oh yeah, come on, man. So the sound of a lightsaber is my favourite sound in Star Wars amongst millions, but that is the one which I you know, it gives me the biggest thrill and the biggest kick. But what about you, mate? Other than a seismic charge, what is yours?
Superb answer, mate. You've mentioned some already. I was going to have like a little honorary say for like the pod race of Bulbas. Pod race, like pods. Oh, mate.
Oh, the animal that does a blow off in the market as well.
Oh, yeah, classic. That's the Eopie, isn't it? Yeah. I think there's so many good ones. Oh, also shout out to the Holdo maneuver. After that, there's like a screech. Love that. That's kind of at the forefront of my mind. But honestly, I think it's tough to beat the TIE fighter.
Oh.
Yeah, it's absurd. The best use of TIE Fighter, I think, came in the Aldani arc in Andor.
Oh, bro, you have yes.
The TIE Fighter flying over the hill. That was just, it made you jump. You know, what on earth was that? And
yeah,
it immersed you into our character's situation, right? Into Vel and Andor's situation. So, mate... Yeah, I'm gonna have to say TIE Fighter at the moment. But it's one of those things where there are so many amazing sound pieces of sound effect and sound design in Star Wars, and it's hard to be. I mean, I don't know if it, because it's music, it doesn't count. But you know what I said earlier, the guitar riffs and Attack of the Clones are stupidly good.
Vader's breath. Oh. Just that noise, the Falcon. Mate, the TIE Fighter is a great shout, though, to be fair.
R2.
R2E, R2, there's, I'm sure there's some in the sequels and the prequels you haven't mentioned as well. But man.
Luke's Landspeeder is so, it's so demure. It's so demure, but there is so much.
The sound of a blaster, just the blaster sounds.
Yeah.
Mate, we could go on forever. I'm pretty sure we've got that down as well one day, like the sounds of Star Wars. Mate, I keep getting excited thinking about it.
I know.
Right, well, let's nip it in the bud right there, though, because they are three fabulous questions there. Shawnee Boy, James, Bobby Frost, thank you so much for your questions. Everybody out there, let us know your answers to them. It's a great discussion point, all three of them. But we are going to wrap it up there. Bartender, sorry about the mess. We're not. But we are going to be back again, same time, to cause a little bit more trouble here in the Bantina.
It's the Star Wars Sessions game!
Game! Yes, here we go. At the end of every episode, we have a Star Wars themed game, and each week we alternate responsibility of who's going to host it. This week, it is my turn to host. My friend, do you want to know what you're playing?
Always, mate. Always. Come on. What are you doing to me this week?
I am kicking it old school. I'm doing a classic Jabba the Hutt. We're talking Attack of the Clones. You say you love the film. Well, let's quiz your knowledge about Attack of the Clones. Mm. But it isn't going to be, oh, who said this party's over on Geonosis? You know, there's a couple of easy questions, but I've tried to go a little bit deeper with the cuts here. So how well do you know Attack of the Clones?
Moderately. I always get nervous at a quiz. Any tests, I'm like, oh no.
What am I doing?
Last time he said that, though, you got 5 out of 5. So
yeah, that's true.
I feel like you might just be stalling a little bit here. But right, do you want to know what your first question is?
Yeah, go on, mate. What are we doing?
Right, here we go. Right, DJs, play the music. Come on. Right, the first one. Let's ease our way in nice and easily. What colour is the speeder that Anakin pilots in the chase through Coruscant?
Yellow. And yes, it's modelled after a current American graffiti, isn't it, with the open top.
That's it. Well, he's even given us a little bit of not the trivia there as well. So yes, nice and easy one to get us in there. So right, let's move on then. So what does Padme talk to Anakin about while preparing to leave Coruscant while she's packing her suitcase? What does Padme talk to Anakin about? For ease, I'll give you a choice. You've got a multiple choice. Are they talking about where to stay on Naboo, the recent assassination attempt, Senate legislation, or Anakin's mother?
So this is when they're, what is it, before they go to Naboo?
Before, while preparing to leave Coruscant to go back to the safety of Naboo. So what does Padme talk about?
I think they're, what are the options again? Location?
Where to stay on Naboo.
Yeah.
The recent assassination attempts, Senate legislation, or Anakin's mother?
Where to stay in Naboo, I think.
Are you going to lock that one in?
Because they're like, oh, we're not going to stay in the city. Let's stay in the countryside. Something like that. I don't know. Yeah, go on. Let's lock that in. That's what my gut says.
Locked it in. The gut says, incorrectly, they're actually talking about Senate legislation.
Are you having a laugh?
At that moment, they are talking
about. What are
they
saying?
I don't know. I just got the answers from a quiz, of which I'll tell you where it came from afterwards in case you're trying to look it up. Senate legislation, though. It is official. This is. Okay. So 1 out of 2. Okay.
Okay.
You'll get this one,
right.
Easy. Easy money,
okay.
Baby. Easy money, baby. What is the name of the handmaiden that Padme says goodbye to on that tram?
Is there multiple choice? Or?
Sabe, Corday, Dorme, or Gourmet?
What is it?
Sabe, Dorme, Corday, or Gourmet?
Corday, because it's like I always used to think it was like Courtney or something, but I was like, but it's not quite like Courtney. I think it's that.
Okay,
go on.
She's played by Rose Byrne, and the character is called Dorme. I made up Dorme. I couldn't help but laugh at that.
Are you actually having a laugh?
Oh, Dorme, right. So one out of
three. I've come up with a story that isn't even right. No, because I'm pretty sure it's called That's just me mishearing it.
It's
being
Luke
obviously
Bly canon, though, for his own Wikipedia page. Luke Bly, as a kid, once thought Corday sounded like Courtney. Okay, 1 out of 3. Next one. Where does Jango Fett tell Obi-Wan Kenobi that he was recruited? Where was he recruited to be the template for the clones?
Is it something like Typhon or something?
That's a very good shout, but it isn't.
Oh. Nah.
You want to know what the answer is?
Yeah.
We all know this, mate. It's the moons of Bogdan.
Oh, no.
We all know that. Come on, the moons of Bogdan.
Come on. All right.
1 out of 4. Okay, we'll give you an easy one. Who asked Padme to stay on as senator once her term finished? Who asked Padme to stay on as the senator? Multiple choice. Was it her family? Was it Palpatine? Was it the Queen? Or was it C.O. Bibble?
Palpatine.
You going to lock it in?
Oh, no, I don't know. So what was the options again? Palpatine, her family.
The Queen and C.O. Bibble.
It was maybe it's the Queen. I'm going to say the Queen. Because we see a different queen. Go on, stay.
Please. Well, I'm glad you changed because the queen is correct. The queen even asked her to stay on as senator. Woo! All right.
By the way, that's not even explained in the film, is it?
Oh, yeah. No, queens are voted in or whatever.
They're like, oh, yeah. Don't worry, lads. There's a new queen. All right.
What's that? It just is, all right. That's it. Yeah. George was just being George.
It's just... It's mental, mate. It's crazy.
2, 3, 4, 5. 2 out of 5 ain't bad. Okay, you got a couple more then. What is the name of the boy that Padme describes to make Anakin jealous? What is the boy's name?
Oh, are you having a laugh?
Nope. No. I told you it's a deep cut. What is the name of the boy that Padme describes to Anakin? Pardon?
Colin.
That ain't far off. That ain't far off.
You're having a laugh.
I'm not
having a laugh.
That ain't, it's not far off.
Colwell.
You were close the first time with pollen.
Pollen?
Is that what you said?
No, Colin.
Oh, no, that ain't Colin. I thought you said pollen. I was like, you're not far off with pollen. That ain't Colin, though.
What is it then?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
It is Palo or Palo. P-A-L-O. And the name of the boy is mentioned in the film. The name is Palo, and Anakin's like, yeah, whatever. All right, then.
Get him all jealous. I'm going to get him all jealous.
That's it.
I'll mention Colin to him.
Is it Colin and then Colwell? All right, two more then. So that's 2 out of 6. Two more. How many in Clegg Lars's search group made it back from their rescue mission?
4. No, 3. No, 2. 3.
You were very quick to say 4, mate. Which one are you going with?
4.
Why?
Because of what you just said.
Because 4's the right answer. I can't not give that to you. You said it straight away, and then I was like, don't go. Stop going further down. 4. 4 people made it back. Though only 1
zero.
Of clear glasses.
Zero. Legs. 0 made it back. Mike yeah. 0. Mike yeah. 0.
Oh, that guy. Oh, hey, new president. Is that guy still about?
Yeah. I don't know. Let me have a look.
I know I blocked him on YouTube or don't recommend this guy or something. So.
Did you?
Yeah, I can't be dealing with that kind of riffraff on my timeline.
He is back. Yeah, no, not back. He's still... Yeah, no, he's still...
What's the latest headline?
Bob Iger attacks fans after the Acolyte trailer back.
Bob Iger didn't attack anyone. For God's sake. The thing is, it's so absurd. I almost want to watch it, but I don't want that on my algorithm. I don't want it on my feed.
Kennedy says fans need to shut up after the Acolyte trailer backlash.
Oh yeah, I remember when she came out on that plinth and was like, shut up, like Vince McMahon. Yeah, we probably shouldn't mention him, but shut up.
This is hilarious.
Final one then, mate. Final question. You've got 3 out of 7, I think. Who's counting? Final one. What creature injures Padme in the arena on Geonosis? And these are the choices, mate. I swear I did not make these up. It is either the Reek, Aklay, Nexu, or Mongverst.
What are the options again? It's not Reek. And it's not...
Reek, Aklay, Nexu. So I've lost my place on my sheet.
Keep it in.
Right, Nexu, Aklay, Reek, or Mongverst.
You need to keep it in. It's not the Nexu, and it's not the Reek.
Stupid name.
Not the last one, but what was the other one?
The other one was Nexu.
No, it's not Nexu, and it's not Reek.
Aklay.
I think it... Oh, hang on.
Nexu, Aklay, Reek, or Mongvorst.
Hang on. It's so the Reek's the Rhino. The Aklay. Oh, the Aklay might be the Spider Boy.
Do you remember your toys?
And then the not the last one that's interestingly named, the other one. What's that called?
Nexu.
I think it's the Nexu.
Are you going for that one?
Yeah.
Nexu is the correct answer. Yes, my man. And to confirm, all of those questions were from StarWars.com, and all of those answers were from StarWars.com. So when you're talking about the Senate legislation and stuff, that's what they said. And that and those final creatures, I had a little look. Like the Mongvorst, apparently these kind of little spider crab creatures, which I don't actually know if we see them in the film.
What are they called? They're
called Mongvorst. So I Wikipedia'd it, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of picture of them, but I think they're like little spidery, crabby type things. but they're listed as being in StarWars.com lists them as a potential threat in the Petronacci arena.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Never heard of them.
All right. Okay. Brilliant. Another week, another episode in the bag. I'll take this. This has been brilliant.
50% on the quiz, mate. 4 out of 8. Not bad whatsoever. You are Attack of the Clones Stan. You can stay in the fan club. And we're done. I think that's episode 242 of Star Wars Sessions in the bag. It's been a great one. We've been wanting to do this one for a while, and I'm glad it was as fun as we thought it was going to be. It's Attack of the Clones. How is it not going to be? But that is that then for this episode of Star Wars Sessions. But the fun doesn't end there. No one's ever really gone. Where can the world find us, Master Blywalker?
They can find us at starwarssessions.co.uk. Search for us on X, Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok. Just search Star Wars Sessions and you'll find us there. Drop us a voice note or a message to our email address, which is hello@starwarssessions.co.uk. If you want to support the show further, please consider checking out our Patreon, patreon.com/StarWarsSessions. $2 gets you in the club. You can't get a lot for $2, right? A cup of coffee, a decent cup of coffee is more.
You ain't getting that for $2.
Just give up a coffee, one coffee per month, and you get a ton of bonus content. Like, it's a no-brainer. Come on.
Everything that guy just said. But listen, if you want to support the show for free, we appreciate that just as much. We love it. Just keep on listening like you are now. But we would love it even more if you could just leave us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast provider of choice, which so many of you have been doing recently. And like we said before, if we get some really cool ones, especially on like Apple Podcasts where you have to write them, we'll read them out. We'll have a little bit of fun with them. And those 5 stars does help the show grow, does introduce new listeners. And it's another way to hear from more of you each and every week.
Yes, and please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell your cats. Tell your Star Wars Unlimited TCG UK Facebook group. There you go, Chris Fox. I bet you like that, mate. Tell your Ewok, tell your cousin, the more the merrier. Their kettle's spicier. Basically, someone on there was like, oh, can anyone recommend any decent Star Wars podcasts? And Chris Fox was like, yeah, Star Wars Sessions, mate. Can't go wrong. So big up.
The only one, the original and the best, you know. You want to be us, you can't be us. We're the Sessions boys. Tell your nearest Collectors Guild Facebook group, there you go, Dave, that this is the podcast you are looking for. So until next time, from me, see ya, and from Luke.
May the Force be with you always.
Luke!
Okay, yeah, come on. Top Wambo. Classic.
Yeah.
Bonjour, check out Union Army.
What?
That's a triangle.
Quality.
They are Essex-based podcast heroes.
And given the acolyte, or as I like to call it, the hackolyte.
What?